Today's Bible reading will be taken from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and we'll be reading from verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort, with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears that will accumulate themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into the myth. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This concludes the Bible reading.
Amen. Thank God for the privilege and the opportunity to be here on this Lord's Day, the first Sunday in June, and we come to recognize and appreciate Brother Paul Field, almost 11 years. And as I consider the sermon for today, I ask myself the question, what would I want as a preacher to hear? And this is today's sermon, Preach the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and thank Brother Jamie for the reading. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5, the Apostle Paul to the evangelist and preacher Timothy, he says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Verse number 5 says, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. It is from verse number 2 that we extract the title for today's message, Preach the Word. Preach the Word. This is a passage perhaps for those who are members of the Lord's Church that you've heard time and time again. But I want us today to consider, what did the Apostle Paul have in mind when he told this young preacher Timothy these words? In the historical context of 2 Timothy chapter 4, it is possible that we can misinterpret this term, preach the word. What exactly is a preacher? And what is the context of this verse? In the first century, they used the term kerux, K-E-R-U-X, kerux, who this was a spokesman for the king. You think of in ancient times in Rome, they had the amphitheaters, and they didn't have a modern PA system, microphones and speakers as they do today. And so the king himself would have what we would call a kerux, a spokesman who would stand on a platform. And Thayer's Greek lexicon defines this word kerux as, number one, a herald or messenger vested with public authority who conveyed the official messages of kings, magistrates, princes, military commanders, or who gave a public summons or demand and performed various other duties. Here in England, the United Kingdom, when Her Majesty the Queen died, if you were careful, you noticed that the Queen in the royal family, they have what they call heralds. Heralds, these men go all throughout the country to proclaim the new sovereign. And even in little old Bermuda, where I come from, they would proclaim that the sovereign has died and a new sovereign is to be inaugurated or put into reign. And so this person spoke as if he was the king, the magistrate, prince, military commander himself were speaking. Likewise in the Bible, the man of God is his messenger, is God's mouthpiece, spokesman, and he must understand this. So the preacher is the Kurutz. In the Old Testament, God used prophets to speak on his behalf. Therefore, a prophet was more than a foreteller, F-O-R-E, but more so he was a forth-teller, F-O-R-T-H. In other words, he was God's spokesman to herald out the king's message. We notice in your Bible in Exodus chapter 4, Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 10, you remember the story. God called a man named Moses and said to him, I want you to go down to Egypt and preach to Pharaoh. And Moses, like we today, started making excuses. Lord, you don't want me. Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 10, then Moses said to the Lord, Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And you know, if God calls you for something, he means it. Amen. And so God said to him in verse number 15, now you shall speak to him. He said, I'm going to give you Aaron, your brother, to be your spokesman. He said, I'm not eloquent, I'm going to give you somebody to speak on your behalf. And he said in verse 15, now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. Verse 16, so he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you fast forward 900 years into the future in Jeremiah chapter 14, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verses 4 through 9. Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 4 through 9. Jeremiah the prophet, he was about 19 years old when God called him to speak. You see in verse 4, Jeremiah 1, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God. But here's Jeremiah's dilemma. Just like Moses said, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. Amen. He says, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my mouth, put my words in your mouth. Jeremiah preached for approximately 48 years for the Lord. And then in 2 Chronicles 36 and verse number 12, you know that down, he said, he did evil in the sight of the Lord his God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of God, of the Lord, the Bible says. And then in Haggai chapter 1, then Haggai the Lord's messenger spoke the Lord's message to the people, Haggai 1:13, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. And so, likewise, in the New Testament preacher, the one who proclaims God's message as his herald and represents God to his people in the preaching of the word. How do I know that? And how do you know that? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11, very familiar passage of scripture to some. Peter said, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, as if God himself were speaking. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's for the New King James Version. Well, let's read that in a more modern translation. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speaketh, speaking as it were oracles of God, if any man ministering as of the strength that God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whose is the glory and dominion forever and ever, and the Bible says, amen. And so the preacher, when he preaches, he ought to have the mindset that God could not be here and I'm speaking on his behalf. So, hence Paul's charge in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. We then ask ourselves the question, what is the content of that word? What word was Timothy to preach? Because he didn't say what the word was. But the word then, what word should Timothy and preachers preach today? John chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see the Word was there in the beginning, and the Word was God, and was with God. And then John identifies who and what the Word is. He says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through or by Jesus Christ. And then John says in verse 18, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Preach the word. And so when Paul told Timothy to preach the word, we know that the word is Jesus. And when the word that is to be preached, we need to preach Jesus. We need to preach Jesus and make Jesus the hero of your message. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because you're looking like you're interested. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. The city of Corinth was a very interesting city. It was a seaport city, and it was full of idolatry, but the church was there. And the church needed some preaching. And so we had a group of people there, the Jews and the Greeks, and they were interesting folk as well, just like in this congregation, they got all type of folk. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, Paul says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse number 20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God through the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Why? For the Jews, verse 22, request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. You know, folk today are the same way. People today are the same way. They want God to prove himself. If God is real, he needs to prove himself. And some folk just want, the Bible says, and Paul says in Romans, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How much truth do you need to understand what the truth is? And so he says, Paul says, goes on to say, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. Verse 24, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because, verse 25, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Who do we preach? We preach Jesus. To some, a stumbling block. To others, foolishness. We can see in the text Paul's argument that God used what the world thought was foolishness, the message of the preaching of the gospel, to expose that the word what the world considered wisdom as foolishness. However, Paul's point was that the content of the message was not foolishness. Instead, it was man's thought that the preaching of the gospel was foolishness. Why did we come to church on Sunday? We come not only to worship God, but we come to hear a word from the Lord. It is through preaching that man knows what God's will is. And so, this is not just some exercise that we go through for some foolishness. Why do you go to church every Sunday? Because And I want to hear what he has for me today. And so, church, even if God was foolish, you would know it. Amen. If God, even if God had a foolish thought, the Bible says God is not like man. And so to those who were being saved, it was wisdom. And to those who were lost, foolishness. Why? Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's why God needs sound gospel preachers today. And we must also recognize that there are no inspired men today. Did you know that? You know, as someone said, what God told me and God laid on my heart. There is no inspired man or woman today. Therefore, what they got through inspiration, we must dig out of the text through perspiration. Not by imitating others, but through study, prayer, and a constant desire to speak the King's message without addition or subtraction and without fear of contradiction. We must also recognize, church, that's why Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, you know the verse, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished for how many works? For every good work. All scripture. And if God told you something, why he's not telling me something? And the Bible also says that God is not a respecter of persons. If he told you, why didn't he tell me? That's why when we preach, we ought to have what? BCB. Book, chapter, and verse. You ought to be able to prove it from the scriptures, preacher. However, Paul did not define what that word that Timothy was to preach. He assumed that Timothy would understand the content of the message. That's a distinctive message with a distinctive content to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. When I went to many years ago, if I can take 2 minutes to explain to you, many years ago, there was a sunset satellite school, Brother Paul, in Bermuda. Was introduced by a member, and I took all of those courses. So the UK Bible Institute is called now. I did all of those courses, not going for credit. I said, I'm just coming up here, and I just want the Bible information. And then one day, Ed Wharton came to Bermuda, and then my aunt went to Sunset, where Brother Dan and Sister Bethany are right now, and Lord willing, Sister Mary will go this year. And they say, well, just come. So I said, well, I don't know about all of that. And then I said, well, I think I need to go. So what did I do? I sold everything. I resigned my job. Amen. Packed up my belongings and gave away everything, including my car. And went on to Lubbock, Texas in 2002, in December. Amen. Graduated, and I said, well, I'm just going to go over there, get the information, and I'll just go on back to my life in Bermuda. But God had other plans. I had no desire, church, to ever stand before people. If you knew Gary Smith, way back in the day, he was like a church mouse. Amen. I didn't say nothing. I was invisible. I didn't want anybody to, don't even ask me a question. What? Someone once said, your best ability is availability. Your best ability is availability, making yourself available to God. And God will take you places that you've never been before and put you before people that you never met before too. There's a song that says, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. That's all I'm here for, church. And so that's a preacher's charge. Listen, Paul didn't define what the thing to be preached was. So someone will ask the question, so why should a man preach the word today? Number one, I want to suggest that a man should preach God's word because salvation is at stake. There are souls to be saved, and he must be concerned simply about that. That's all we come for. What is the mission of the church? The mission of the church is not to feed the homeless. The mission of the church is not to go and do all these things in-house. The mission of the church is to fulfill the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And number two, because you cannot get to heaven without a preacher. Because you cannot get to heaven without a preacher. You say, you got Bible for that preacher? Yes, I do. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Turn with me in your Bibles. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Paul says this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you know that God says preachers have beautiful feet? Preachers have beautiful, that's what the book says. Why? Because they're going about taking the good news message to man who needs salvation. Number three, why a man should preach the word? To help the body of Christ that is saved to stay saved. To help the body of Christ that is saved to stay saved. Listen, I've always been taught that when you get up to preach, you want to put some teaching in your preaching and put some preaching in your teaching. That's the second half of the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse number 20. Teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, or the age. And number four, why a man should preach? To help man to recognize the distance that God went to redeem man's soul. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, but God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Never lose sight of that fact. God paid, and Brother Duden set it up here, God paid an awful price. He paid a debt that you could never repay yourself. Huh? So that you can go free. Salvation is not free. It costs Jesus his life. And number five, and most importantly, a man should preach because the good news is still good news. A man should preach because good news is still good news. You know, we can circulate people's business on the internet. Folk will forward all sorts of other things and gossip about different things. But what about the good news? You can tell everybody about what happened at the football game last week, and did you hear about Susie and whatever? Well, what about the good news? Listen now. Martin Luther, the German priest, theologian, he was best known for his role in the Protestant Reformation. He wrote this letter, and he also wrote the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. He wrote this letter. He says, O Lord God, thou hast made me a minister and teacher in the church. Thou seest how unfit I am to minister rightly this great responsible office. And had I been without thy aid and counsel, I would surely have ruined it long ago. Therefore I invoke thee. How gladly do I desire to yield and consecrate my heart and mouth to this ministry. I desire to teach the congregation. I too desire ever to learn and keep thy word my constant companion and to meditate thee upon earnestly. Use me as thy instrument in thy service. Only do not thou forsake me, he saith. For if I am left alone, I will certainly bring it all to destruction. And he said, amen. God needs preachers, even here in the UK. There are very few congregations of the Lord's church where there are full-time ministers. Why is that? Why is that? Do we not have a desire, men, to preach? And someone suggested that when you get up here to preach, you ought to have something to say. You ought to have something. Are you preaching because you have to say something or because you have something to say? That's two different things. God needs preachers that remember 1 Peter 3:15. We need some 1 Peter 3:15 Christians. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give a defense or the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. You ought to have something in you. On the bus, at the train station, at the barbershop, at the beauty salon, you ought to be able to, when folk ask, why you believe what you believe, you ought to have what? BCD, book, chapter, and verse. I know some folk preach and they don't even, they can't help but preach. Huh? Say, oh, you're a preacher. Folk walk up and say, there's something different about you. Huh? Jesus. I'm glad you asked. Huh? God needs some preachers. Listen. Is there a preacher among us in here today? Huh? We need preachers. We need preachers' wives, Brother Paul. We need elders and elders' wives. They say an elder that preaches, the Hebrew says, is worthy of double honor. Hmm? We go to elevate preaching. Preachers. Nobody knows a preacher like another preacher. Amen. Because the preacher holds all the church's burdens. But he has a responsibility. He said, endure affliction. Endure affliction. Do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Listen. What's the preacher's job? What's the preacher's job? I want to suggest he is called to preach liberty for the lost, healing for the helpless, grace for the guilty, salvation for the sinner, comfort for the confused, pardon for the prisoner, love for the lonely, restoration for the reviled, exaltation for the extortioner, peace for the prostitute, blessing for the blasphemer, forgiveness for the fornicator, conversion for the covetous, intelligence for the ignorant, fellowship for the faithless, hope for the heartbroken, and strength for the stressed. That's our charge, church. And so, if you ever get the opportunity to go to Sunset, Brother Paul, you know this. Before you get up and preach and say, Brother Paul, come and preach for us, and the whole congregation says, preach the word. Why? Because, listen, God needs good, sound, gospel preachers. And if you won't do it, he'll find someone else to do it. God has always spoken down through the ages. He used men. He called men. He's not looking for perfection. Amen. Because he wouldn't have called Moses. He wouldn't have called Jeremiah. He wouldn't have called Paul the apostle. He wouldn't have called Peter. Peter the apostle. Huh? But he needs preachers today, church. And so my charge to you, Brother Paul, and to every other preacher in this on the sound of my voice, continue to remember Paul's charge in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, to go and preach the word. The message is yours this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by doing five simple things. The first thing you must do is hear the word of God. Romans 10 says, being faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to believe in Jesus Christ, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number three, you must repent of your sins. Repentance simply means that you change your mind with a view to change your action. The book of Luke says, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You must confess Jesus as Lord, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. For the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are we there yet? No, number five. You must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, as Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 3, Mark 16, 15 and 16, Acts 2, 15. Amen. Somebody's paying attention. And then he calls us to remain faithful. Church, we come to church on Sunday not to have our ears tickled, but sometimes to get our feet trampled. Amen. Amen. Brother Ed Wharton used to always tell the brothers in the preaching class, listen, fellas, when you preach, you're going to have to step on folks' feet and make sure you do a good job while you're stepping on them. Amen. Because listen, when we start getting comfortable in our Christianity, perhaps we're not growing. God wants us to get uncomfortable because His word is urgent and He needs someone or someone to go out there and speak a message for Him. Will you go? Will you go? And if not you, who? And if not now, when? Perhaps you have seen that you need the prayers of the church. All you've got to do when we extend the invitation, remain standing. Brothers and sisters, I have sinned. I repented that sin, and I'm asking for prayers. I know I mess up all day long sometimes. Huh? And you say, well, I don't have no problems. I know what your problem is. It's life. Amen. Or you just want to give God thanks. We have been blessed in this congregation in more ways than we deserve. We're not perfect, but we're asking God for His grace today. Lord, help me to be a better husband, a better father, a better mother, a better wife, a better citizen of the kingdom, that this congregation will be the congregation that we read about in the scriptures. Amen. And great will be the day when we aspire to just that. If you need prayer in either of these two ways, we invite and encourage you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.